From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Thursday, January 30th, and here are today's headlines. Bureaucracy at the federal level is delaying plans to make permanent repairs to state buildings in Vermont's capital. Numerous government buildings in Montpelier were heavily damaged by historic flooding in 2023. Officials prioritized temporarily getting key state buildings back up and open. Now they want to make permanent changes to some facilities in case there's another flood, things like moving electrical systems above the flood line. Doug Farnham is the state's chief recovery officer. He told lawmakers recently that FEMA is challenging some of the state's plans.
We had to get the buildings up and operating on a temporary basis. And even that has been a back and forth with FEMA over, well, sheetrock is a permanent repair. It's like, well, we had exposed electrical, so we covered it up with sheetrock so that people didn't get electrocuted.
Farnham says he's hoping these issues can be worked out in the coming months so that critical planning work can begin this summer. Governor Phil Scott's education proposals involve some notable shifts in how Vermont structures public school governance and funding. That includes dropping a universal school meals program that ensures schools provide every student access to free lunch. Yesterday on Vermont Edition, Education Secretary Zoe Saunders was asked how that would affect children in need.
The governor's proposal is about continuing to ensure that students receive public school meals if they are not able to afford it. So it's transitioning from universal school meals to a means-tested approach and making sure that those children that are in poverty can still receive free meals.
Saunders said more specifics on how the Scott administration's new education plan will be funded and administered will be announced later this week. Lieutenant Governor John Rogers plans to play a lead role reforming the state's retail cannabis law. Rogers, a Glover farmer, describes himself as, quote, probably the only lieutenant governor in the country who has a cannabis cultivator's license. He wants to bring retailers, cultivators, manufacturers, and state officials together to discuss lowering the state's 20% tax on cannabis products. That's in an effort to draw consumers away from the illegal market. And Rogers wants growers to be able to sell their products directly to consumers at farmers markets and similar places.
You know, special events or some kind of farmers market or something. So that has to be dealt with. And the only way to do it is give us some ability to make direct sales.
The House Government Operations Committee is considering many of these issues in the coming weeks. A bike share program in Chittenden County will end this spring. VT Digger reports the company Bird will pull its blue e-bikes from Burlington, South Burlington, and Winooski. The company said it was financially challenging to operate in a smaller market. Bird is the second bike share company to pull out of the area. The company Bolt went out of business in 2022. It operated the Green Ride bike share program. Bird's bike share program launched in mid-2023 and offered on average 150 bikes for rent. The Secretary of State's office is recommending a statewide ban on firearms inside town-owned municipal buildings. They looked into the idea at lawmakers' request, but Chris Bradley, president of the Vermont Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs, says his group will fight any legislation that curtails Vermonters' gun rights.
We can't support this. The fact of the matter is that honest and law-abiding citizens have a constitutional right to be able to defend themselves.
The report from the Secretary of State's office also asks for stricter firearms limits inside state-owned buildings and on nearby land. Coming up, the Trump administration continues to rework how the federal government works, with little or no forward notice. The result is leaving organizations that help resettle refugees in Vermont unsure how to respond. We'll hear more from the director of the state's refugee agency after this. People who help resettle refugees in Vermont are scrambling after the Trump administration made seismic changes to the federal scaffolding surrounding that work. In his first day back in office, President Trump signed an executive order temporarily halting the entry of new refugees into the United States. And late last week, his administration paused funding for groups that support refugees getting acclimated to their new homes. Tracy Dolan is director of the state's refugee office. She joined host Mary Engish by phone to talk about what these actions mean for refugees resettling in Vermont, and Dolan highlighted the impact of the pause in federal funding.
So on January 24th, all refugee resettlement agencies received a letter that said, as of today, you must stop all work on the reception and placement program, which is really that intensive work that happens in the first 3 months after a refugee arrives. So these were refugees who already were here. And the work in that 3 months is simply to help them sign up for any kind of employment opportunities, any benefits they may be eligible for, assist them into moving into apartments. Many of them go to work right away, so that work early on allows them to quickly start their lives here and begin their path towards self-sufficiency.
And then regarding that reception and placement that you're just talking about, that work stoppage, does that affect people who do that work in Vermont?
That stop work order came out and had an immediate impact here in Vermont. It also had an immediate impact on staffing because those agencies were told that no staff that are working on those projects would be able to be paid beyond that day.
And Tracy, NPR and other news organizations reporting that, according to a State Department memo, some refugees who were slated to travel to the United States in the coming days and weeks, some of them after waiting for years, had their flights canceled. Has that affected any refugees who were slated to come to Vermont?
Here in Vermont, the impact on people who were waiting for their relatives to arrive is significant. In particular, I'm thinking about Afghans who fought alongside the U.S. military several years ago, just before they were evacuated, and now who are here and waiting for their families to come. Many of those flights are canceled and or processes are put on hold for any of their family members to arrive and join them, but also other refugees here who have been waiting for family members to join through other programs also do not know what the fate of their situation is.
Can you remind us of the number of people you were expecting in Vermont this year?
We had expected that we would receive approximately 650 refugees in this federal fiscal year, and we had received about 160 when the executive order was enacted, halting all refugee arrivals.
Were state organizations that work with refugees and immigrants able to sort of perhaps prepare and see that this might be coming because this is the second Trump administration and similar things happened in the first?
The first executive order stopping all refugee arrivals was somewhat expected. That did occur in the first Trump administration, and we had heard unofficially from our federal partners that that was likely to happen. It was somewhat surprising that they were also going to cancel flights that were happening that week. The other executive orders were definitely a surprise. Reception and placement services have never been suspended in the history of refugee resettlement in the United States, and that was shocking and sudden and immediate.
Does the pace of these changes feel extra challenging? They're sort of coming without a lot of forward notice or collaboration with states and non-governmental groups that are impacted by them.
I'll speak for my partners who are in the community mostly. It's a fire hose at the state level for people like me, but I would say even more so for the people and community partners on the ground who work with people day to day. I think you said not a lot of notice. We're receiving letters and orders sometimes at 5 p.m. and being told that they're in effect right now or the next morning.
How will your office go about its work going forward? And are things different given this pause on admitting new refugees to the United States?
What is Vermont doing? We're continuing to do what we do, which is really announcing to the country and to the world that we are a welcoming place. Local people are continuing to try to do what they can to support refugees and other displaced populations and welcome them and connect them to services, connect them to jobs, and connect them to communities. And we will remain hopeful that things turn around and that we eventually can get back to doing significant refugee resettlement in this state because we're good at it. And the refugees have had a lot of success here.
Tracy Dolan is the director of the State Refugee Office. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
And that was host Mary Engish. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Bob Kinzel, John Ahrens, Brittany Patterson, and Howard Weiss-Tisman. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelyan, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.
Every episode of Brave Little State begins with a question about Vermont that's been submitted and voted on by listeners like you. What happened to all the restaurant workers? What's the deal with Vermont's fire towers? Why do people like the band Phish? Follow Brave Little State wherever you get podcasts. From Vermont Public, part of the NPR network.